Hi, this is Pastor Woods, and I want to talk to you about something today that might be offensive to some of you, but the Lord has really put it on my heart to tell us as Christians, and if you are a Christian, we need to sharpen up and be careful because, you know, one day we're going to face Him and give an accounting for the things we say. And so I want to say today the only name that we should revere is the name Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 of the New King James Version says, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Exodus chapter 20, verse 7 says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." Jesus, what a precious name. The only name people take in vain. The only name people swear by, the only name which stirs up such hate and venom, because Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The only name which produces love in the hearts of many who speak it. It's the only name that can save us. I was going back through my notes of some of my old sermons and found this article, which I'd completely forgotten about. On January 3, 2010, Britt Hume of Fox News spoke that name in recommendation to Tiger Woods, citing his need of forgiveness and faith that offers it. Tiger is a Buddhist. It was a personal recommendation given because he was asked for his personal opinion. That's Britt Hume. What a firestorm of controversy it sparked. Many reporters tried to water down the comment, but Britt didn't hold back. No one says what in Allah's name is going on. No one texts OMB or Oh My Buddha. These facts help to prove the case that Christianity is the truth and all else is false, because only Jesus' name has the power and punch behind it to matter. The truth hurts and the truth helps, but it's never neutral. No one ever tells an enemy to go to purgatory, for there's no jab found in any in saying that, because there's no truth in that non-existent place. They tell their enemy, go to hell, a place that they supposedly don't believe exists. For 2,000 years, the name of Jesus hasn't just reformed alcoholics, but has transformed them, purified prostitutes, made liars tell the truth, turned haters into lovers, turned wife beaters into docile men, made whoremongers faithful, cleaned up cursing mouths as saved souls from hell. Every other religion on earth has this in common. Their founder today is dead. But I can say I serve a risen Savior, and He's in my heart today, and that's why it's the only name that we need to really pay attention to. It's a powerful name. We cannot escape. Philippians 2:10 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things of heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth. Think of it. Even Satan's going to have to bow at the name of Jesus Christ when we ultimately come to a final judgment. No one's going to escape that name. You don't have to say God's name and then attach damn after it to take God's name in vain. We take His name in vain anytime we speak it flippantly in a way in which we're not talking about Him the way we're supposed to, reverently, in truth. Have you ever heard someone say Jesus Christ and it's obvious they aren't honoring Him by saying it? Have you ever called down a person like that? Well, I have. If someone spoke, I remember a time when somebody came up and said that to me, and I said, oh, I'm afraid you got me mixed up with my boss. I said, I'm not Jesus. I said, He's the one I work for, but I'm so glad if you can see Him in my life. Have you ever called down a person like that? If someone spoke your mama's name in disgust or an insult, you defend your mother. Have you ever defended your Father in heaven? You want to put someone in their place kindly but effectively. Do what I did to the man who said, well, Jesus Christ. I told him, thank you, but you have me mixed up with my Lord and Savior. God's name is sacred. It's a holy name. At that name, angels bow down. Demons tremble. Satan has to flee. The name Trump may open doors of finance. Einstein may open doors of brilliance. Michelangelo may open doors of art, but the name of Jesus Christ will open to you the doors of heaven. Romans 10:13 says, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." We honor names of military generals like MacArthur, Patton, Schwarzkopf, and Charles Q. Brown, the present general of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and others. We honor spiritual leaders like Billy Graham and David Jeremiah and D. James Kennedy, Adrian Rogers, and on. How much more should we honor the name of Almighty God? Psalms 8:1 says, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens." Psalm 25:11, "For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great." Psalm 111:9, "He has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever holy and awesome in his name." We need to be reminded of the mindset of the Orthodox Jew in Bible days. In respect to the name of God, as well as many Bible translators for centuries A.D., before the invention of the printing press, when these scribes would copy the word of God, every time they would encounter a name of God, they'd get up from their work table, go and wash, and often change their clothes, pick up a new quill that had never been used before, and proceed to write the name of God. They would do that every time, sometimes up to three times in a single verse. That is how respected and revered the name of God used to be. What a terrible thing it is to drag his beautiful name through the mire. Names are very significant. The Bible says a good name is better than great riches. Let me say some names and guess what probably is the first thing that comes to your mind. If I say Judas, you probably think traitor. If I say Thomas, probably doubter comes to your mind. If I say Hitler, you think of a murderer, a mass murderer, a horrible person. If I say George Washington, you think of honesty. What do you think about when you hear the name of God? The Bible has 300 names of God because it's impossible to capture the full character of God in any one attempt. In Genesis 22:14, it says Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. Ezekiel 48:35, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Jeremiah 23:6, Jehovah Sidon, the Lord our righteousness. Exodus 6:3, El Shaddai, the Lord is sufficient. Exodus 15:26, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. Exodus 17:15, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our God. Judges 6:24, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Genesis 14:19-20, Jehovah Elam, the Most High God. Matthew 1:21, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Jesus is the veracity of truth, the verity of love, the victory of grace, the visibility of God. It's honey to the taste of those who love him, harmony to the ears of those who serve him, healing to the soul that needs to be comforted and needs to have certain needs met. Christ is his Messianic name, or Messianic, as a Messiah. He is the Christ, and that's the name we hear as Christians. We are little Christ, or Christ-like ones. That's what it means. It's not just a spatial privilege, but an awesome responsibility to be a Christian. Don't wear that name if you're not willing to back it with your life. It's taking that name in vain too casually and wear it like a jacket. You can put it on or take it off depending on whom you are with. God help us not to do that. We live in the midst of the most cursing generation in history. Vile words are regularly added to a magnanimous list of things you can say but shouldn't. Most people, even many Christians, don't think twice about using the words damn or hell in a frivolous way. Atheists say hell all the time, and then they claim not to believe in it. Some say hell, and they expect to go there. Well, no problem. because it is their choice. If they decide that's where they're going to go, then God will allow that to be, but he won't send them there if they repent. Some claim to have been saved from hell and still say it. What a mockery. What a sad revelation about how worldly many Christians are today. Then there's the four-letter F-bomb that people use, the filthiest thing you can say, and so considered the most powerful and most used of the scum of society. Some say it so much in all situations they don't even know they're saying it anymore. Others think they're adding emphasis to what they're saying by using it. If what you're saying is so weak that you need to add such a word, you should revisit your real point and try to find something worthwhile to say about it in the first place. The A word, another word is donkey, but the A word is now commonly accepted on regular primetime TV, but it best describes the person who would stoop to use it. That way it's used as like the part of the human anatomy. The S word isn't far behind, and further reveals what a potty mouth one is when he says it. Sometimes I wonder how these people that use these horrible terms, how their mouths must taste. They must want to somehow refresh in their mouth. Rap music is full of all the above and so much more, especially terms derogatory to women or racial slurs. The average R-rated movie has foul language every 32 seconds. PG movies, PG-13, most sitcoms average one every minute or two, and we allow it into our homes. We allow it to come into our minds, and no wonder we have problems, you know, with our thought life if we let ourselves be bombarded with such trash and filth. Our kids don't have to hear it from us. If they hear it from the television, it makes it look acceptable to them. Cursing used to be considered man language, and you'd hear someone say, "Watch your language, there's ladies present." It's not just a man problem anymore. Young girls not far detached from playing with their dolls and playhouses are saying things today that would make a sailor blush a generation ago. As bad as all of this is, the most vulgar thing you can do is speak the lovely name of God in a vain way. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7 says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." If we took that more seriously, we'd probably think twice before saying other curse words. It's all about forming new habits and getting rid of the old ones. When we curse, we reveal four things about ourselves. One is a lack of character. The Bible says our mouths speak what is abundant in our heart. What's down in the well comes up in the bucket. You can tell what a person is by how he talks, what he says. Two, a lack of intelligence. When you have to use profanity to get your point across, you're revealing an empty head and a wicked heart. Profanity is the attempt of a feeble mind to express itself forcefully. Profanity reveals a limited vocabulary. And then a lack of understanding. Think how foolish it is to use a curse word. What does it get you? With most sins, you at least get something in return, even pleasure for a short season. I mean, stealing is wrong, but at least you got something that you stole. I'm not justifying sin. I'm just making a point. You have a flat tire, and you stand out there and curse. Did that put any air into the tire? Now, if the hot air coming out of your mouth could go into the tire, it might be different. Can cursing unstub your toe? Make your golf ball move from the rough to the fairway? Fix your broken window? What do we earn by cursing, by being foul-mouthed? Well, only one thing, the judgment of God. Again, Exodus 20, verse 7 says, "The Lord will not hold him guiltless." Lack of reverence and respect, a person takes God's name in vain and says, "Sorry, I didn't mean that." That's like saying, "God is meaningless to me. I can use his name and not even mean it." And I want to say just a warning to Christians who use the terms, oh my God, and OMG, or God, you don't mean it. You know, they work God into their conversations so many ways, and they don't even know what they're saying, really. They just sprinkle God's holy name into their conversations without even thinking about it. That's exactly the word vain means. It means empty or meaningless. And God is going to hold those people account no matter how strong a Christian he or she thinks that they are. They are going to be accountable for desecrating God's holy name. It's a lack of reverence to God and a lack of respect to any others around us. I don't like euphemisms for the same reason, you know, people say, oh gosh, or darned, or doggone, and all these things. And then they laugh. That's just Christian cussing. I think that we need to stop and realize what those words are really standing for. It's a soft way of saying, God damn. It's a soft way of saying some of the other things that you know. It's just cursing. Britt Hume's advice to Tiger was good advice. What a testimony it would be if someone like Tiger got saved and could use his influence to reach others for Jesus Christ. I'm asking you, how's your language? Do you need to clean it up? Do you need to somehow or other show more respect to your Savior for what he's done for you? I would challenge you, if you've had a habit of saying, oh my God, or saying, you know, just working the word God into your conversation without even thinking about it, ask Jesus to forgive you and ask him to make you aware of what you're saying and to clean up your vocabulary so that you can glorify him. Dear Father, I pray that you help each one of us as we try to walk the Christian walk, that you'll help us to be the best examples, Lord, that if we're doing something like cursing or we're doing something that it violates our convictions or makes other people wonder where we are, Lord, to help us to clean that up. Help us to draw close to you and become the witnesses you want us to be. I know that not one of us wants to stand before you at judgment and hear you say, why did you take my name in vain? And so, God, I pray that we'll be careful with our language. And I pray, Lord, that those who don't know you as their personal Savior, that this would be the time that they would confess their sins, because you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse our hearts from all unrighteousness. Lord, I just ask, please, you'll glorify your name in our lives, that we will be your ambassadors and touch others for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you can get in touch with me by writing to me at Box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. Or you can address me on text with my phone number, 623-845-2741. Or you could also use that phone number to call me and talk direct. I'd be glad to pray with you if you need prayer. I just would encourage you to make sure that your heart's right with Jesus Christ. I didn't talk about what's happening in prophecy today. It's not going to be very long. Even the world knows that we're on a crash course. Jesus is coming back soon. I want to be ready, don't you? God bless you. Talk to you next week. Amen.